This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
A happy Tuesday and welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Another great show for you guys today as we continue our college football preview, our NFL previews leading off to the seasons. We also got to tee it up Tuesday. The Open Championship is over. Now the guys are back in the States in the Twin Cities for the 3M Open. We'll give out some of our best bets in golf this week as well. We're going to have Matt Horner join us later on in the show for Model Making Money, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, we'd love to hear your interaction. Anything that you have to say, go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. Anything on the Clemson Tigers, make sure you let us know as well, as we're going to break them down today. And as always, if you guys miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's get the show started today. Talking a little Clemson Tigers. Larry Williams joins us on the Glasser guest line. Give Larry a follow on X at Larry Williams TI. Writes for TigerIllustrated.com. And Larry, as you know, I mean, we were talking before you came on. You've been covering Clemson since 04. You've seen the ups and downs of this program. Certainly there in the mid-2010s, Dabo had this program rolling. Last couple years, though, not the seasons we've been accustomed seeing out of Clemson. Just looking at last season with kind of all the expectation around the change at OC with Garrett Riley, and there was a lot of hype around Cade Klubnik. Ultimately, what do you think the program and the fans, how disappointed were they in last season?
Very disappointed, because they're sitting there at 4-4, 8 games in. Certainly not something they're accustomed to, losing to Duke, NC State, Miami. That's a different galaxy from what they were accustomed to from 15 to 20, when they went to 6 straight playoffs, won 2 national titles, played for 2 others. But I think that, you know, Dabo gets a lot of grief, which we'll probably talk about portal reluctance, yep, some NIL reluctance as well, in this transactional world that college athletics is now in. But I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that those issues are perhaps secondary to the fact that what got them to the top of the mountain, largely elite quarterback play and elite receiver play, has not been there. They still have a very high-level defense, as they showed last year, and as I think they will show again this season. But the missing pieces have been that people like Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence don't grow on trees, nor do T. Higgins, Mike Williams, and on down the line, a litany of great receivers they have had over the last decade or so, DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins. And so I think the big question moving forward is, are they going to get the type of quarterback play they need to get back up there in that top tier? I don't think it's realistic to expect Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson to walk through the tunnel starting this season in Atlanta on August 31st. But I do think it's realistic that Cade Klubnik could give them, pretty good to really good quarterback play. I mean, he was certainly well thought of in the recruiting process. When you look to the outside, I think they have some weapons, some new weapons, some freshmen, and then if they're able to stay healthy, which has been a big problem in recent years, I don't think they need great on offense for this team as a whole to get back to where they're used to in terms of top five, top six, playoff contention, all that.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about the transfer portal. This is a crazy stat, Larry, that I was reading about. Clemson's the only non-service academy school in the Power Four that has not accepted a transfer during that cycle. So that's crazy. We obviously know Dabo's just not a fan of the portal. Do you think at some point he's going to adapt, or do you think he's going to just continue to build his program the way he always has?
Yeah, I think part of it, part of the story that probably gets sort of pushed to the side sometimes is, you know, the last 2 years, they have tried to get a few guys in the portal. Cornerback Fentrell Cypress 2 years ago went to Florida State. A few offensive linemen the last couple of years who just happened to go elsewhere. I think when you're talking about that, then you have to get into, you know, sort of a sub question or criticism, I guess, and that is, is he willing to get into bidding wars or stroke a check to pay top dollar, sort of the market for some of these portal guys? That answer, I think, has largely been no. Does he need to change those ways? I think you could argue yes, but I also think that the jury is probably still out on his model in terms of, you know, retention is still a pretty big deal. You know, I think we saw Kirby Smart really say that last week at the SEC media gathering when a question he was asked was, hey, you know, Carson Beck stuck it out, you know, for years to wait his turn. Is there a way that you can duplicate this with the rest of your roster so you can get that type of staying power? And he said, well, there's no miracle chip that I could just inject into my roster to make them sort of more cognizant of the benefits of sticking around. He said, largely the recruits that we go after and we get aren't, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference. And I think he was comparing Georgia to the rest of the sort of upper echelon schools that they're competing with. He said, but the difference you see is the ones that stick around. That's the real value. And so, you know, to me at least, that's a credit and a reference to the Sweeney model. And so, you know, just this past off season, you saw a few of their really sort of headliner top end guys, Clemson's guys on the roster, TJ Parker, DeMonte Capehart, Peter Woods, and even others. You saw them pursued by other schools and offering a lot more money, and they chose to stay. And so I think, you know, that doesn't really draw the headlines as much as, oh, Dabo's not going to the portal, but I think it's still tells us or indicates that, hey, the jury is still out. And so, but I think a lot will, this season will tell us a lot for sure about whether Dabo's model is sustainable and can last, or whether he needs to adapt a little more.
And week one, Larry, I mean, is going to be the ultimate test. They get Georgia to kick off the season. They're two touchdown dogs in that game. We saw Georgia and Clemson play in the season opener back in 2021 when both teams were viewed as two of the top teams in the country. That was a defensive struggle type game. Georgia won 10-3. The pick six was the only touchdown scored in that game from Georgia. So as they open up the season this year with both teams kind of viewed very differently, has Dabo, have the players looked at how much kind of they're enjoying being looked at in an underdog in a game like this and the challenge that presents them in Georgia to kick off the year?
I don't know that they're enjoying it. I think they, just like any team, they do derive motivation, off-season motivation, out of being counted out and out of being viewed as not in that contender sort of category that other teams, including Georgia, of course, have sort of replaced them with. I think with Clemson fans, just the culture around here, Georgia is a traditional rival. I think most people know that. Mm-hmm. Goes back to the 80s mainly. But during Clemson's most recent heyday, 2015 to 2020, they're looking down at Georgia, even though Georgia, Kirby Smart had taken, you know, made some immediate gains. You know, took Georgia to the playoff really early on, I believe his second season. But still, Clemson looked down on Georgia and took great satisfaction in the fact that several of their most important players over that stretch, Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson, were pulled right from under Georgia's noses in the Peach State. And so the fact, you know, it's been hard enough that Clemson has been in decline the last 3 years, but to see Georgia as the team out there, the program out there that has elevated while Clemson has declined and taken that spot as the big bully, that is really, really hard to take. It's a sore spot. You know, Clemson looks at Georgia and sees Clemson as a two touchdown underdog. Very difficult baggage there, I guess, that you could say, for Clemson fans to deal with. And I think it's difficult for the coaching staff to deal with too, and maybe a little bit the players as well. Because as you mentioned, you know, just 3 years ago at this time, coming off of the 2020 season, you know, Clemson is coming off a playoff trip. Georgia is coming off kind of a nondescript win over Cincinnati in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Not many Clemson fans, I think, really saw this coming, sort of the monster that Kirby Smart created before that game in Charlotte that opened that season. But I think it was easier to see just what he had created that night and then moving forward. And so, yes, I do think the players get a lot of motivation out of sort of being counted out. Just, you know, that's just human nature. Now, will it really matter over the course of a brutal four-quarter game, you know, with the biggest bully on the block? I don't know. But certainly in the offseason, it's a factor.
Larry, before I let you go, in about 30 seconds or so, what is your prediction for Clemson this season? Do you think they win the ACC? Do you think they get into the playoff? Or do you think ultimately it ends up being another disappointing year?
I don't really make a whole lot of predictions here in July. I do think, and I'm not known as a Kool-Aid drinker or dispenser, you know, around Clemson. I try to call it like it is. I think they have a really good roster, and that is being sort of diminished by the national conversation. I think if it's a big if they can get improved quarterback play, I think they have the weapons at receiver to be much more explosive. I don't think they were that far away last year. They really outplayed Florida State and just were derailed by some really bad turnovers. So I think if they can clean some things up, they're not as far away as perception sort of indicates over the last year or so.
All right. He's Larry Williams. Give him a follow on X at Larry Williams TI. Writes for TigerIllustrated.com. Joining us here on Send It In. Larry, great to meet you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the season, and hopefully we catch up again soon during the year to preview one of the big games. Appreciate your time.
Yes, anytime. Take care. Have a good one.
All right, you as well. Larry Williams there joining us on Send It In as we continue our preview on the Clemson Tigers. And again, as you can see their schedule on your screen, they open the year against Georgia in Atlanta. Georgia going to be the number one team in the country. Then it's Appalachian State bye week. Then ACC play begins. They play NC State, Stanford, of course, who is now a member of the ACC, Florida State, Wake Forest, Virginia, another bye week before they get into Louisville. Couple of tricky road games as well with Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh, and then Citadel and South Carolina to end the season. I thought the thing that Larry said that I agree with the absolute most is, yes, Dabo had Clemson rolling from 2015 through 2020, but the key thing that he had throughout that run was just an elite quarterback. I mean, he had Deshaun Watson, he had Trevor Lawrence, he had great receivers, as he mentioned, the Mike Williams, the T. Higgins, you can go back to Sammy Watkins, DeAndre Hopkins as well, had all these dudes. Clemson has not had really a receiver of that caliber in the last 3 or 4 years, and certainly Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. I mean, those are all-time type college quarterbacks. So tough to find those. But Cade Klubnik, even though I do think he could make an improvement this season, he's just not Deshaun Watson, and he's not Trevor Lawrence. And Dabo has shown us that unless he has that guy at quarterback, he doesn't really win much. He had Kelly Bryant 1 year when Clemson was so stacked in the rest of the rest of their team, and they made it to the college football playoff and then got beat by Bama when they were the number one team in the country. They also had a soft schedule that year in the ACC. So really don't like Clemson, any big picture, national championship or anything like that. Their win total sitting at 9.5. The under is juiced heavily, minus 165. That's the way I would lean. I wouldn't take an over. I don't think this is a team with 10 wins because they're going to lose to Georgia. They're probably going to lose to Florida State. They're losing one of the two Florida State or Virginia Tech games, if not both. And then don't sleep on the games at home against NC State and Louisville. We previewed Louisville last week. That's going to be a team that made the ACC championship last year, returning a lot of guys. Jeff Brohm has more guys in his system. And NC State made one of the more underrated quarterback pickups in the portal this year, getting Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina. If you watch college football at all, you've heard that name, Grayson McCall, known what he's done at Coastal Carolina the last couple years. That was a really good pickup for Dave Dorn. So those home games could be tricky. The two road games against Virginia Tech and Florida State, and then certainly that Georgia game, they are going to lose as well. Tell you guys a bet that I do like. Week one, Clemson and Georgia, I'd take the under at 46.5. We know how loaded Georgia's going to be on defense. I think that Clemson offense is going to struggle. Clemson's defense, though, is very good. That's the one thing, even though they've fallen off a little bit, their defense has remained very solid. But you look at how Clemson's opened the year the last three seasons. That game against Georgia, the Georgia Tech game in Atlanta, and then last year against Duke. Been very sloppy to start the season, and going up against Kirby Smart and company in Atlanta, I don't really expect that to change much. So that under 46.5, I do like. Wouldn't take Clemson to win the ACC at plus 350. Wouldn't take and make the college football playoff at 2-1. I just don't know if this team, Dabo's got to adapt to the new era of college football. And like Larry said, Dabo's trying to get guys in the portal. I don't think he's making an effort like some of the other coaches or programs around the country, but I was on Clemson big last year. They hurt me. Don't want to go back to that well one more time with the Tigers. So I'm staying away from them. Do like that under 46.5, though, week one against Georgia. All right, let's talk a little Jacksonville Jaguars. Just worked out pretty well for us that we were talking Clemson. We go to the Jags, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, of course, former Clemson Tigers. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars for the upcoming season, and last year, the Jags' home schedule was as favorable a home schedule as I've seen. All the top teams that they played, the 49ers, the Bengals, the Ravens, they played a bunch of good teams at home last season, weren't able to win any of those games against any of those good teams. The Chiefs as well was another game that they lost at home. Now this year it's kind of the opposite. Their road schedule is very tough. Obviously they play Houston and Indianapolis on the road. They also play Miami on the road. They play Buffalo on the road, Philadelphia, and Detroit as well. A lot of times in the NFL, some teams are way better at home and some teams are just better on the road. I think Jacksonville is one of those teams that's better on the road than they are at home. So I actually think having a more difficult road schedule this year might end up being good for them. And all those tricky road games that they have are pretty spread out throughout their schedule, right? They open up the year against the Dolphins, then you get the Bills in week three, you get the Eagles and the Lions towards the middle of the season. So Jacksonville, I think their schedule, even though they do have some tough road games, division will be tricky with Houston and Indianapolis as well. I think actually having a tougher road schedule might be better for Jacksonville this year than having a tougher home schedule. Obviously, the big conversation with Jacksonville and your thoughts on them heading into the season is likely how you feel about their quarterback and Trevor Lawrence. And he obviously got paid a lot this offseason. Some people like Trevor more than most. I was really never high on him coming out of Clemson. I thought he was obviously talented, but we were just kind of anointing him as like the next great thing. And I never really thought he was that. He's had some up and down moments. I don't even count year one under Urban Meyer because that was a complete train wreck. He's had 2 years under Doug Peterson. They made the playoffs in year one. Last year was a big disappointment. But again, I think how we view the AFC South is so interesting because we all think the Texans are like head and shoulders above the Colts and the Jags. When we talked about with the Colts a couple days ago how Indianapolis was a fourth down away from winning that division, Jacksonville had the lead in that division later on in the season as well. So Indianapolis and Jacksonville are a lot closer to Houston than what people think. And now with all the expectations on Houston and with what CJ Stroud put together in his rookie season. People don't view the Jags and the Colts the same. It's kind of crazy. 2 years ago, if we were previewing this division, the Jags would be the team that we were viewing like how we're viewing the Houston Texans. Everybody thought Trevor Lawrence would be what we look at C.J. Stroud and think he's going to be in the NFL. So they still got a good coach in Doug Peterson. Lawrence, even though he's not maybe a top 10 quarterback, maybe he's borderline, he's solid. They went out in the offseason, got Gabe Davis to go along with Christian Kirk, who comes back from injury. ETN's a very good running back. Still have a ton of first-round picks on their defense as well. So when I look at Jacksonville, I wouldn't bet them to win the division. I like Indianapolis. I wouldn't bet them to win the Super Bowl or the AFC. If I had to make a bet with the Jags, though, I think I would take their over win total 8.5. To me, the Jags feel more like a 9 or a 10-win team this season than they do a 6 or 7-win team. So the fact that it's minus 115, you're getting close to a pick 'em each side, I think the over would probably be the play. It's not my favorite bet, or it's not my favorite win total of the offseason, but if I had to make something on the Jags, I would probably go over 8.5 wins. I think they're going to be better than people give them credit for. And again, because Houston is attracting so much in this offseason, it's creating value on some of these other teams. And I think Jacksonville might be priced a little bit worse than what they should be. All right, let's talk some golf. Little teed up Tuesday here on Send It In as we look at the 3M Open. And anytime you're handicapping the 3M Open, obviously a big part of this is going to be just natural jet lag. A bunch of these dudes were over playing in Scotland for the Open Championship. Now they got to take the flight, they got to adjust their bodies, and they got to go to a completely different golf course out in Minneapolis. We're at the 3M Open, TPC Twin Cities. This is a par 71 golf course, 7,400 yards. And the big thing with this course is how much water danger there is around here. Year after year on the PGA Tour, this is the sixth year that they're playing here. This is one of the courses on the PGA Tour that is among the leaders in balls that go in the water, because 13 of the 18 holes have a water hazard. So that's something you constantly got to deal with on this golf course. One thing, or a couple things, that have kind of been key in determining who has done well here in the previous five times that the events has played here, got to be long off the tee. Strokes gained off the tee has been massive here. You've had guys like Matthew Wolf, Cameron Champ, Tony Finau, Bryson DeChambeau has been in contention here. Guys that are some of the longest hitters when they were on the PGA Tour, that on the PGA Tour, they have done very well here. So you want somebody who's long off the tee, that strokes games off the tee, very, very good. Also want a guy who's a good approach player. These greens that they have at TPC Twin Cities aren't very difficult. So if you're off the green, you know, scrambling, which was certainly a key factor last week, that might not be a key thing this week. So I want guys that are long off the tee. I want guys that are good approach players as well. Four golfers that I would look at. The first one's going to be Luke Clayton at 25-1, one of the bright rising stars on the PGA Tour, and I think this course sets up really well for him. He comes in pretty good form. He was tied for 10th at the Rocket Mortgage, and he was tied for 2nd at the John Deere Classic. One of the longest players off the tee that we have in the field, and also one of the best approach players. So two of the key things that we're looking for: a long off the tee, great approach. That's Luke Clayton. Also, he does very well in events where you got to make a lot of birdies, which I expect to be that this week. So I'll take a shot with Luke at 25-1. Cameron Davis, another guy that I'm looking at 35-1. Another guy that hits it far off the tee. Great comp course for TPC Twin Cities is going to be the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Another Midwest golf course. Guys who tend to play well on that course tend to do pretty well here. Cam Davis is a two-time champ at the Rocket Mortgage, including winning about a month ago. So I like him this week again. Emiliano Grillo at 50-1 is going to be the guy that I have my eye on as well. Again, 13 of the 18 holes on this course have a water hazard, and a lot of that is off the tee as well. So you want guys that hit it long, but you also want some guys that hit it accurate. Grillo is one of the most accurate drivers of the golf ball off the tee, good iron player, and his course history at this course is too hard to ignore. He's played here four times. Three of those four times he's finished in the top 10. So I'll take Grillo at 50-1. And then another long shot that I like is Chan Kim at 60-1. Tied for 12th at the John Deere Classic, tied for 10th at the ISCO Championship last week. both courses where he had to go low to compete. He had to shoot a 20 under at the John Deere, 19 under at the ISCO Championship. He's in good form, good approach player, and he's been playing well on these courses that yield a lot of birdies. So Chan Kim, Miliano Grillo, Cam Davis, Luke Clayton, some guys that I'm looking at this week. Let's go to Model Make Money. Check in with Matt Horner. Get some bets today in Major League Baseball. Matt, before we hear what you like for today, what does the BetQL model like for today?
Yeah, so we're going with the St. Louis Cardinals at a pretty large number, around plus 150 or so, to get the win against the Pittsburgh Pirates, who have Paul Skeens on the mound today. The model has this as minus 111 for the Cardinals here, so obviously that's quite a bit of value. No wonder it's a five-star play. Skeens is due for a slight bit of regression, 190 ERA, 261 expected, and a 224 expected FIP. The Cardinals are just the much better team overall, besides starting pitching, than the Pittsburgh Pirates are, so maybe it's thinking here that you're getting some value if the Cardinals can keep this thing close and they can get to Skeens a little bit. Plus 150 or so. The model loves it. So St. Louis Cardinals, five-star bet.
Very good. Matt, how about yourself? You've been rolling with these picks when you've been here on the show with your best bets. What do you like for today?
Yeah, so my best bet tonight, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Twins at around plus 130 or so here. Take a look at the starting pitchers in this one. Zach Wheeler is going for the Phillies. Obviously, he's an ace. He's a great pitcher. He hasn't pitched in 2 weeks. He missed his start before the All-Star break due to a back issue, which is kind of concerning. He could also be a little rusty here. Minnesota's offense has been great against right-handers. They have a 111 WRC+. They've been smacking them around quite a lot. On the other side, Simeon Woods Richardson is getting the start for Minnesota. He's an average pitcher, if I were to say anything about him, honestly. He's not special. He's not bad. He's just kind of average here. But the Phillies have really struggled against right-handers lately. They've actually dropped outside of the top 10 in WRC plus against righties as an offense. So they've been struggling a bit against them. Take a look at some other factors. The bullpens are both top 10 in the league in expected FIP. So the bullpens here are both great. DRS, the Twins are actually a better defensive team than the Phillies. So when you take everything into account, I just think plus 130 on the Twins is just too much value here. They're playing at home against the Phillies. So, yeah, give me them at plus 130 to get the win tonight against Philadelphia.
Twins were my best bet last night. They came through. So, Matt, hopefully they are good to you tonight. I like that play, plus 130 against the Phillies. Real quick, Matt, before I let you go, I want to talk some football with you. We were talking about the Jags today on the show. We previewed three of the four AFC South teams on the show so far, the Colts, the Texans, and the Jags. You'd figure probably one of those teams win the division, unless the Titans just shock all of us, but it's probably going to be one of those three. Who's your pick to win the AFC South this year? You like the Jags, the Colts, or the Texans?
Yeah, so the public's going to be all over the Texans, obviously, because everybody loves the Texans right now, super high on them after their season they had last year where they exceeded all expectations. So everybody's going to love to pick the Texans. They very well could win. Definitely. They're the most talented team. I think they have the best quarterback overall, so they could win this division, but I'm not going to be betting them if I bet anything in this division. I don't really see this division as a lock for anyone, quite frankly. I think it's kind of up for grabs. So if I was going to bet anybody, it would be either the Colts or the Titans. And obviously the Titans are 10-1 right now, so if I bet them, it would not be for very much. You never know. Will Levis could make a little bit of a leap here, and he could lead them to a division title. It's not impossible. But the Colts, actually, like you were just talking about, I agree with you. The Colts are an intriguing team. They have a very solid roster here. If Anthony Richardson can stay healthy, and that's the key, I like them, honestly, at this type of number. So in this division, go with the longer shots, Colts or the Titans here.
Very good. I like it. He's Matt Horner joining us here on Send It In. Matt, always appreciate your time. Good luck on your bets, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.
Sure. Thanks, PJ.
Absolutely. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, we're wrapping up the show with PJ's plays. Beef underscore VZ telling us, I hope Clemson doesn't win a game. Gamecocks fan here. Gotta love college football, man. Rivalries run deep. I'm with you too, Beef underscore VZ. Not a Clemson fan either. I am a Julio Rodriguez fan, though, because today he is my pick in going streaking. He's facing Jose Soriano from the Angels. He's 4-for-9 against Soriano in his career. Julio's batting .263 this season. Obviously, much has been made about how awful that Mariners offense has been this year, and it has been really bad. So don't love using them in going streaking, but Julio's got good history against Soriano, so he'd be my pick today. My prop lock is going to be the Orioles team total under 4.5 runs today at +100 against the Marlins. This is what the Orioles do. They're great against the best teams in baseball, and they play down to their competition. An off day after playing Texas, now they're going up against the Marlins. They've been struggling against these bottom feeders in the NL, so I think it's going to be a lower scoring game today. I'll take the Orioles team total under at 4.5. Dog of the day is going to be the Cincinnati Reds +180 against the Braves. We had the Reds yesterday. We were counting on some regression for Ronaldo Lopez. Maybe we'll get some out of Chris Sale today. I'll take the Reds at +180. Shawnee Sharpe's going Paul Skenes over 7.5 strikeouts today. My best bet, told you guys, like the under 46.5 in week one against Georgia and Clemson. Once again, to recap our favorite plays for today, Julio Rodriguez is going to be our guy in going streaking. Orioles team total under 4.5 runs will be our prop lock for today. Reds +180 is our dog of the day. Shawnee Sharpe over 7.5 strikeouts for Paul Skenes. Clemson, Georgia under 46.5 points in week one is going to be my best bet. Thanks again to Larry Williams, Matt Horner for joining the show today. If you missed any part of the show, check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Talking SMU and the Titans tomorrow. We'll see you guys then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.